Most of you probably remember that I was raised in Texas, because I've told stories about that before. So before my family moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when I was, in fifth grade, we lived in Wichita Falls, Texas. Thanks be to God, my parents moved to Dallas, is all I got to say to that. And so the story that I'm thinking about took place, I don't know the exact year, but it was around when I was in third grade, which would have meant my brother was around sixth grade, and my cousin, who was involved in this story, was probably fifth grade. And living in Wichita Falls, it's just far enough north and just close enough to the panhandle that there would be every once in a while a kind of a freak snowstorm. We're too far south here. Too far south where Andy grew up, way down in South Texas. But up around Wichita Falls and Amarillo, every once in a while, you would get one of those snowstorms. So my cousins were in town on a weekend, and we woke up on a Saturday morning, and we literally woke up to about 8 inches of snow. We were very sorry it was not during the week, because that would have meant no school. But you can imagine a third grader and a fifth grader and a sixth grader, we were pretty excited to see lots of snow. So we got out and we decided we were going to build a fort. What else is it a third grader and a fifth grader and a sixth grader are going to do? We built forts before, but never out of snow. So my dad, had a large plastic garbage pail that he would use in the garage. And it was about that big around and about 2.5 feet tall. So we packed it full of snow, turned it upside down, then packed another one full of snow. We were building this fort, and then we put another row on top of it. It was, we had to take up the whole yard of snow, but it created quite the fort as we were going to fight off all the snowballs that would be flying at us from the other neighbor kids. So besides me and my brother, who was called Jimmy at the time, I was called Johnny at the time, and my cousin Alan, there were two neighbor kids, Sharon and Becky. They were played with us all the time. They helped us build this, what I call the Texas igloo. It was the snow fort. And when we covered it with a sheet on top. And when we were ready to go in, my brother said, come on, let's go in. So we started in, and I started to say something to Becky and Sharon, and my brother said, sorry, no girls allowed. They had a look like I just had. They were heartbroken. And they kind of moped off in the snow back to their house. People ask me all the time why I made the switch from Rome to Canterbury, crossing the river. And I had a lot of issues. I do have a lot of issues, but I had several. My number one issue was women and the church. The fact that we did not ordain women drove me to the edge of the cliff. So I have joked with my brother over the years that day when he said to those girls, sorry, no girls allowed in the snow fort, that was the day that inside of me was planted the seeds of inclusivity and including women in every facet, every aspect of the church. I agree. I could not agree more. Absolutely. So, if you think about it, every person sitting in this church has felt excluded at one point in their life. There may be something in your life right now that you feel excluded because of. So, I don't use notes when I preach. I pray a lot and I think a lot. But when I started doing this list in my head, I realized the list was probably too long for me to try to remember. So I have written a few things down because I think it's important for all of us to recognize how we have been excluded or how you might be excluded right now. Maybe you have felt excluded because of your name or your heritage. Maybe you have felt excluded because of your intellect, being too smart, or not smart enough. Possibly exclusion came to your doorstep because of where you lived growing up or where you live right now, your address, was not in the right part of the city. Have you been excluded because you're a woman? It continues to be very prevalent in our workforce. We've come a long way in the church, but we're still not there. Maybe you've been excluded because you're a man. Whether you are a female or male, maybe you have been excluded because of your age. You're too old, or you're too young. Have you been excluded because of where you went to school? Or maybe where you're going to school now? It could be the way you talk, or the people you talk to. Maybe you have felt excluded because of the color of your skin. Yes, we've made many strides in that area, but we have a long way to go. Maybe after finally getting the courage to embrace the person God made you to be, and you came out, and you met exclusion. Trust me, I know. Maybe it's the way you vote, bucking the trend of your church friends or your social friends. Could exclusion happen because of money? You might be excluded because of the amount of money you have, or very possibly the lack of money. There are all kinds of reasons we clump people into groups, and then we try to separate those groups. As followers of Jesus, we need to be very, very careful when it comes to exclusion. Because if we're not careful, we are skating on thin ice. As Andy reminded the staff this past Tuesday, at our staff meeting, we discussed the upcoming gospel of the week. We read it, we have a spiritual and theological discussion, what it means to people. And he reminded us then of a phrase that I've heard before. It's one of my favorite, and I love that it's been brought back into my radar. If God did not send His Son to condemn the world, I have news for you. He did not send me or you to condemn or exclude. I'm going to repeat that. If God did not send His Son to condemn the world, He sure the heck did not send me or you to do the same. The problem is we have created in our minds our own little world of a God that has limitations. I am here to tell you that God does not have limitations. Not at all. For centuries, Christians have built beautiful churches with walls and a ceiling, and we have a new church now. Why do we do that? We have to have a place to go to pray, to worship, to sing, to praise God. But the problem is, subconsciously, I hope, we think everyone in these walls is loved by God, and everyone on the outside is outside of God's love. I hope that's not conscious thinking, but I do think subconsciously we do think that. Over salvation history, and certainly in our own lives, we continue to miss the boat. Jesus gives us story after story after story, parable after parable after parable. Nothing to do with exclusion. Nothing to do with condemnation. Nothing. Here are a few examples. The good shepherd in the parable leaves his herd of sheep. And what does he do? He goes to find one And he brings that, puts that sheep back on his shoulder and brings it back to the herd. That story has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. Nothing. The prodigal son. When the prodigal son is embraced by a loving and forgiving father, that has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. Doubting Thomas, one of Jesus' most intimate followers, after his resurrection, Thomas says, "Well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it." And not until he touches his hands and his side does he believe, and Jesus embraces him anyway. That story has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. What about the woman at the well? Jesus goes to get water and he says, "Give me a drink." And they start having this conversation. And at one point he says, "Yeah, tell your husband." And she goes, "Oh, wait a minute, I don't have a husband." And he goes, "Yeah, you're right, I know you don't. You've had five. And the one you're living with right now isn't your husband. But I'm going to give you water anyway. And I want you to go tell your brothers who you've been in contact with and what you've learned." That story has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. What about Peter? Jesus is arrested, and Peter's given a chance to stand up and be Peter. "Hey, do you know him?" "Nope, I don't know him." "Oh, you're the one who hangs out with Jesus." "Nope, I don't know him." Three times Peter denies Jesus. And 3 days later, Jesus embraces him. It has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. Why? Because Jesus' ministry has nothing to do with exclusion or condemnation. Nothing. So when I read that list to you, I don't know what resonated with you. I don't know. I don't know how you've been excluded in your life. I'm sure that list could be twice as long as I gave you. But maybe, just maybe when I was reading that list, you felt you were on the other side. Maybe you felt you've been the one doing the finger pointing. Maybe you felt like you're the one who's been saying you don't belong. Well, lucky for you, it's Lent. It's Lent. The season to make all the positive changes in our life. When things aren't going right, when we've been accusing people or excluding people or pushing people away, it's our opportunity to turn around and go the other direction. Wow, aren't we lucky that the church gives us the season of Lent? So as your Lenten season unfolds in front of you, as you prepare for the great Easter feast, may you always remember in the depths of your soul that you and everyone you love and those who you don't even know, none of you are excluded from the love of God. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.